Tuesday edition of the Hagman Report. The show is just flying by as we have two great patriotic Americans with us, Kevin Shipp and Craig the Sawman Sawyer, and we're getting into a number of issues. During the break, Craig, you just brought up a point right there at the end that we were talking about in the first, really the whole first half hour of the show, is the media, what the media has been doing and how rabid they have become. They're anti-American, they're anti-Trump, they're anti-anything that seems good or decent at this point, and they have been doing any and everything except telling the truth about what is happening in the country. We have, you know, the Mueller investigation and the calls to impeach Trump. How is it that the American people, how is it that anybody in this country, filth that these mainstream media outlets, you know, feed us constantly?
And if I, before you answer that question, let me just jump in here. My wife told me not to mention this, and I'm going to pay for this, by the way. But I granted an interview with Rolling Stone magazine, which came to bite me came back to bite me in the butt. You know, what was I thinking, right? I'm an idiot for even sitting down to talk with these morons from the Rolling Stone. That was back in April, and it was about Pedogate, Pizzagate. And I got a bad feeling. I did not give them any information. I just had a really bad feeling about the whole interview. So I withheld information, and they just skewered me publicly, of course. And I got a phone call from the attorney saying, "What the hell were you thinking?" Okay, the reason I bring that up against my wife's better judgment is this is what they're doing across the board to everybody.
Exactly.
And shame on me. I accept full responsibility for that. Shame on me. But there's no truth getting out. So I'm embarrassed by it, actually. I'm embarrassed by my own actions for thinking that I could make a difference with the mainstream media. So I just wanted to throw that in there, fall on my sword, and say shame on me. But back to
Joseph. Well, we all want to believe the best, Doug. You know, we all want to believe the best. And I think good people are disappointed when they don't see decency in others. But what I want to say is that the American public need to recognize the level of conflict going on behind the scenes, the level of struggle for power over the United States. It's not just a theory. It's not just an idea. It is an active, well-funded and highly coordinated and orchestrated effort to seize control of the United States. Those who want power over the United States do not subscribe to our very way of life. They are not on board with a free market and a capitalist system. They want control that our system will not allow them to have. They want a level of control that is absolutely tyrannical. And because the American public don't hear that on the mainstream news media and in the entertainment industry and from academia, they assume that maybe it's not happening. Although, if they get quiet and just watch, they can see that it's happening. But I think we're so busy, we let it slide. And, you know, we got to realize that the globalists, these that want a central global model of control, there's no United States in that. There's no free and independent, powerful United States in that model. So they have to break it. Why did Barack Hussein Obama double our national debt in only two terms? You know, it wasn't an accident. He's not that stupid. I think he's just playing for the other side. So many of these people are literally against everything that we stand for and that we believe in, and we don't want to see it. So we've got, you know, so many people. Only five entities own virtually all of our mainstream news outlets anymore. And what are their political views? They're not pro-American. They're distinctly anti-American. We're literally getting our information from people hostile to our way of life and to our country. And I think once the American public understands that it's that bad, it's that hostile, then they'll recognize that they're no longer going to get empowering information. Look, if you love people, you share information with them. You want them empowered so that they can have a good life. They can have control. They can have success. And that's not what we're getting from those hostile to us anymore. So we're being fed fluff, that which is meaningless, to keep us down. And, you know, our academic systems have been saturated by those on the far left. All of the entertainment industry, you know, Hollywood, film and television, the music industry, look at all those now coming out and speaking about the level of Luciferian worship and weirdness going on at the top of the music industry and Hollywood. They're getting sick to their stomachs, and they're starting to talk about it. So I think that's job one, is letting the American public know, and people encouraging the research, just how hostile it is and how far that agenda to undermine the United States has gotten, so that we can understand it, and by understanding it, know how to combat it. If you understand what the agenda is, what the objective of your enemy is, then you'll know how to combat it. So what do they want? They want us ultimately put under their control. How do they get that? Well, they disinform us and lull us into a stupor. They disinform, they disempower us with disinformation. They don't tell us what's going on. They want us disarmed, because a physically armed populace is not one that's easily put under the boot of a global tyrant. So that's what people need to know. They need to know that there is a genuine and real giant struggle for power over the United States of America, and that only if we stand up and rally against it will we beat it back. And we've got a guy that's on our side. So God help us if we don't rally behind him, Donald Trump, in this next 4 or hopefully 8 years, and run the football back as far upfield as we can, beat back all the subversives, and put stronger people in there, and reinforce our Constitution while we have the ball, or else they're just going to finalize it next time. So we better be wise and not just sit back and relax and decide that that the day is won, because the fight has only just begun, literally.
Kevin, I want to get your take on this, but also want to add to something Craig said. He said when the American people understand that these people, you know, the levels of education and media that are so anti-American, you know, that they'll, you know, change after they realize this. It seems that a great percentage of American people, though, are buying into this communist, socialist ideology and propaganda that the media is spewing. And with that in mind, I mean, what can be done when we have this great divide? You see these, you see how, as I said earlier, how rabid these people have become. And there's a great percentage of the population that is agreed upon in their thinking. How do we get past this, if at all?
Well, Joe, that's a good question. Excuse me. Size and extent and the pervasiveness of this deception out there that has come through the mainstream media, for the average person that just doesn't know better, is pretty massive. And what most people, I think, don't realize, and unless they listen to a program like yours, is, and I talk about this, the Mockingbird program lives. Is like Mockingbird was the CIA seeding journalists in the mainstream media and planning stories that were pro-CIA operations, and George Bush Sr. allegedly ended Mockingbird in 1976. What people don't realize is they made it voluntary. They just didn't pay them anymore. But I can tell you this, there is still an agreement between the CIA Public Affairs Office and the mainstream media, and I know this and I've seen it personally. They will not report on what is going on from the global perspective against the United States, the shadow-connected shadow government operations against the United States and its foundation. They will not report on that. They have a quid pro quo relationship with the CIA. Without a doubt, that still goes on today. I remember when I first came out with my book, I went, after a lot of prayer, frankly, I went to the Washington Post, told them I had quite a story. They said, oh, my gosh, this is incredible. We want to run with this. Well, what the Post reporter did, and I won't mention his name because he's a fairly decent guy. It was his editor that made him do this, but he ran straight to the CIA and reported my contact and my story. And that's how it works between these 5-6 conglomerates and the CEOs now. They still take the talking points, if you haven't noticed, from the U.S. government and just parrot them out as if they're a fact. And there's some networks that will not touch the New World Order. They will not touch the shadow government, no matter how bad it gets in Syria, no matter how bad the atrocities the Free Syrian Army commits, the Free Syrian Army massacred an entire Christian village in Syria. You never hear that because they are not going to bring that up. So the mainstream media is gone. And I know in a lot of the talks I give, I prove it, as I'm sure some of you guys do, goes all the way back to the Council on Foreign Relations. There are mainstream media figures that still sit on the CFR. The CFR was responsible for creating the CIA. The CFR was connected to the Washington Post from the very beginning. And the circle continues. The Post is now under Amazon, Jeff Bezos, who just entered into a $600 million contract with the CIA. And the cycle continues. So people have to understand that the major news networks, they're bought, they're paid for, they're not going to give them the actual information. So who's it up to? It's up to us. It's up now. It's the circle goes back to its beginning. It's up to the American people now on programs like this, things like Craig are saying, everybody on the street. We've got to educate as many people as we can regarding what is going on with the global attack on the United States, with the eternal attack on the United States by our own government, so they're educated. And once they're educated and their eyes are open and they understand that this is no conspiracy theory, we're proving this with evidence and factual information, so snap out of it. You got to stand up and do something. Once we get that happening, we can make a change. And I think Donald Trump's election is prime evidence of the success that can have when people are out there educating the American public. That got Donald Trump elected. The movement of people that got this information, that were educated on this information, got Donald Trump elected and shocked the entire world. So it can be done.
Okay. And, you know, this is one of the, I've voiced my frustration about this for a long time now, and the media being able to get away with the lies and the craziness that they are, and then even worse than that is having the American people buy into it, is so frustrating to me. I could potentially lose my mind if I continue to go down this path. So let's switch gears here, because this is something I, on our sheet of talking points that I really want to get into. Robert Mueller. And, Kevin, let's start with you. Let's get into the Mueller investigation and more importantly, the background of Robert Mueller. And we've seen a number of claims, you know, on both sides of the spectrum, some saying that, you know, Mueller is going to eventually indict Donald Trump and it's going to lead to his impeachment. To the other side of the aisle, Robert Mueller is working with Donald Trump to drain the swamp. But let's get into what's really happening with the Robert Mueller investigation from what you know, and then let's get into the background. And Kevin, we'll go to you first.
Sure. Well, we can start with the fact that Robert Mueller is best friends and has been for years with James Comey. And what I try to do is remind people that it was Robert Mueller, the director of the FBI post 9/11, that oversaw and pushed into practice the warrantless search program, a gross violation of the Fourth Amendment, and also national security letters, where the FBI would go into a place of employment, demand all of your records, and then tell your supervisor that if they told you you were there, they would go to prison. It was Robert Mueller that oversaw both of those unconstitutional gross violations of the Fourth Amendment. So let's just start there. Secondly, he's best buddies with James Comey. James Comey was on the HSBC bank when it was laundering money out of South America. I mean, his MO fits a good intelligence operations officer, in my opinion. So it would shock me if Robert Mueller was going to do an objective investigation and pair up with Jeff Sessions. That would be a great day in America, but I doubt that's going to happen. Robert Mueller is known as a zealot. As much of the FBI management is as a zealot, he will go after to prosecute a case no matter what it takes, not after innocence, but after proving guilt. Excuse me. Apologize. Got a cold. I worked very close hands on espionage cases with FBI agents. Some of the finest people I worked with were down at the agent level. A couple in particular, but when you get up to the managerial levels in the FBI, you've got an organization that will protect itself and get its man at all costs. And that is the personification of Robert Mueller, the kind of zealot that wants to prosecute this, because if he doesn't prosecute for something, he'll fail. And you can already see Mueller starting to depart from his prosecutor or his special prosecutor role of investigating Russia collusion. He's already departing from that with the Manafort raid on his home and getting into financial matters that are not connected to Russia at all. As a matter of fact, Manafort was connected to the Podesta Group, as you guys know, and had nothing to do with Donald Trump in terms of that investigation. So, excuse me, we have a zealot there, and I think that's going to be a problem, and I think the investigation is going to get away from Russia, and I think they're going to start looking at some of the financial dealings of Trump and others. And the FBI can trump out its favorites. If they can't prove anything, that they'll pull out the old tricks. They use this on my friend John Kiriakou and others. They'll pull out the old favorite, lying to investigators or obstructing justice. If they can't prove that anybody's committed a crime, those are pretty easy ones to get somebody on. So they always get their man, they say, and they mean it, even if the person is innocent and is not a criminal. So Mueller is a zealot without a doubt. His record shows that. You go back to Weissman and his record, and you mentioned Arthur Anderson and that investigation where it turned out that 80,000 plus people lost their jobs. And I think 9 out of the 10 judges ruled that Arthur Anderson had done nothing wrong. The FBI had already done their damage, and they walked away scot-free with no accountability whatsoever for what they did. That's the FBI, and that's the Department of Justice right now.
That's right.
Right now.
And Weissman, by the way, Weissman was part of the Arthur Anderson takedown, or they really headed the Arthur Anderson takedown. 85,000 lost their jobs. And by the time the Supreme Court, it was overruled by the Supreme Court 9-0, which is almost unprecedented. By the way, from the Company of Shadows, this is Kevin Shipp's book, folks. I would urge everyone to grab a copy of it. Very enlightening and insightful. Sidney Powell, who was on the evening Sean Hannity show 2 nights ago, talked about the Mueller investigation. This is not this is not mission creep. This is creeps on a mission, and I echo that sentiment. Craig, thoughts?
Well, I look at Jeff Sessions on it. Jeff Sessions can intervene if he sees that Mueller is off track and is a rabid dog with excessive mission creep. You know, okay, so the Russian collusion thing ran aground, that ran dry. Well, you don't get to start just ripping back covers and seeing what you might be able to come up with, you know, or I don't know. So I think it speaks for itself. For people that are watching, they can see that, Mueller is not going to back off and decide that, oh yeah, there's no Russian collusion. He's going to keep digging until he can come up with something. You know, he thinks he's after Al Capone or something. Wants to go for tax evasion. Who knows what? I think it's unfortunate. I'd like to see Jeff Sessions say, okay, you know what? You've had a long run of it. You've come up with nothing, and swat him out of the way and say, okay, you're all done now. Let's move on. But Jeff Sessions, I've been impatient with him, and I've heard people say, you know, he's doing brilliant stuff. They're just about to start, you know, perp walking a whole bunch of people. Be patient, Saw. So I don't want to be too heavy-handed about him, but I feel like, man, I'd like to see a lot stronger influence from our AG right now. I think that's what we need. It's time for that. It's time for some adult supervision and to stop tolerating the nonsense that's been going on in D.C.
Exactly.
We're going to need a different person than Sessions if you want to see that take place.
Yeah, well, look, Mueller.
Well, I see him as a glad-handing inside the Beltway guy who just wants to play Beltway ball and not cause any waves, and that makes him the enemy in my book. That's the last thing we need. That's a slap in the face. Imagine if you were in an enemy prison camp. Would you want someone going and shaking hands Gestapo, the commandant of that camp, and giving them coffee and just making nice and waving goodbye at the end of the day and going home? Or would you want him kicking doors in, shooting bad guys in the face, and rescuing you and getting you out of there?
Exactly.
You know, that's what we, Jeff Sessions, Buford Pusser with his big stick and walking tall, start smashing some headlights not to use the analogy lightly, but Jesus in the temple flipping over the money changers tables. There's a time. There's an appropriate time for swift action, decisive action. And we need to get some heads, some of these really rancid crooks, obvious rancid crooks need to roll. And I think I'd like to see a lot more assertive action from Jeff Sessions. We need a strong personality in there as AG.
I totally agree, and I'm not convinced that Sessions recused himself the way he's being portrayed as being recused, but I'm also concerned that he seems to have too soft of a personality for that position. And you know, he might be a nice guy, but nice guys don't always finish in that venue well. I don't recall specifically in this conversation if we address this to its maximum. What is going on with the Flynn? I noticed with Michael Flynn Jr. And Michael Flynn, I've been following their Twitter accounts. I don't know if either one of you have some interesting tweets from Michael Flynn concurrent with the stoppage or the temporary cessation of the grand jury testimony, meaning to say that it appears that Michael Flynn might be etching out a deal with Mueller. I don't know how deep you want to go. I don't know what either one of your sources are saying, but it seems as almost as if this could be some sort of hinge moment in time that would change the course of the investigation against Donald Trump, that the manufactured evidence, because you squeeze Michael Flynn's son, you end up getting Michael Flynn to confess to the JFK assassination, essentially. The tactics being used. Again, I don't know how far you folks want to get into this, either one of you gentlemen, but Kevin, you care to comment on that?
Well, that's, again, classic FBI MO. You get your man no matter what, so that they'll go after his son, and they'll threaten his son with some kind of maximum penalty, and they'll tell his dad, we're gonna not only bust you, but we're gonna bust your son with 10 or 20 years for coordinating with the Turkish government and not reporting it. Although there's a lot of people that have done that and reported it later and have not been charged like Flynn has. So it's a typical FBI MO where they want to squeeze them and roll them and see if they can get them to, for fear of going to jail for 10, 20 years. So yes, I think that is going on right now. I think they're trying. I think that's the way the FBI does it. So just based on their past modus operandi, I'm sure that's what they're doing with Flynn. They're trying to squeeze him and get him to roll with threats. Now, whether Flynn and his lawyers buy those threats or not is another story. And there's some odd twists to Michael Flynn's story, in that they're looking at his connections with an Islamic leader called Gulen. And I believe he was in Pennsylvania for quite a while. And Flynn's connections with the government of Turkey, Gulen threatening or at least allegedly behind the Turkish coup, and on and on and on. So part of the investigation has shifted into Gulen and his role in trying to overthrow the Turkish government and Flynn's connections to Gulen. And the interesting point about that, and I'll speak indirectly here, you can go to my friend Paul Williams, who wrote Operation Gladio, he writes pretty extensively about Gulen's connections to a certain three-letter agency. So if Flynn was on the Gulen, that makes him a whole different kind of target. But I think they are squeezing him. I think they're trying to get him to roll. And it all comes down to Flynn's integrity and his strength and his son's strength. But there's something going on there that's just beyond the simple original charges that they had. And I think Flynn's got some additional information from the inside also on those things. He's probably pulling it out as a card, but that's the FBI trying to do what they always do. They're trying to squeeze him to get him to roll on the next person by hitting him with high charges and then letting him plead down to something less or giving it up to get somebody else.
What do you think the charges could be against Flynn or his son?
Well, working for a foreign entity, and you know, Flynn should have reported that. I think it was $800,000 he received from the Turkish government for working with them, and he didn't report it. Excuse me, guys. And he also didn't bring up those connections during his security clearance interviews. Now those were two mistakes. I think if he did both of those, he wouldn't be in the hot water that he's in now. And those are the two that they're trying to get him with. Now the foreign contacts issue, if you are taking money from a foreign power, you can do that. You just have to report it. You have to report that you're taking $800,000 for the Turkish government for XYZ operation. And that happens in Washington all the time. And there's been multiple cases where people have engaged in those business transactions with foreign governments and not reported it. And when the FBI brought it up, they reported it after the fact and they didn't prosecute them at all. My understanding is this is one case in the last couple of decades that has been actually prosecuted when they've just let the others go and said, well, okay, you didn't report it, just go ahead and report it and you're good to go. Well, they're not doing this with Michael Flynn. They're using it to squeeze him to try to get him to roll over specifically on Donald Trump. So they're using a statute that is usually not enforced. And sadly, he let himself fall into the trap by not reporting it like he should have. So I think that that's a large part of what's going on.
Greg, what do you think? What do you see happening here?
Well, I've been in touch with Michael Flynn Jr., but not the father. And Michael Flynn Jr. has been more quiet this last couple of months. But the people that I do know that are close to Michael Flynn say that he is a good man, and he's basically what they're coming after him for another reason. Basically he's in the right. That he may not be perfect, but whatever they come after him for is just politically motivated for something else. So it's ugly. Again, you know, when I was in the Air Marshal Service, the FBI SES level exec that came there kept telling us that we needed his culture. We needed their culture. It was hammering us over and over again. You need our culture. And I was asking him, well, boss, what is the culture then? And he wouldn't dare say it. So look, if your culture is so dark and so despicable that you can't say it in the light of day, there's something wrong with your culture. And I think we need to stop having so much faith in these agencies that have gone astray and are attacking patriots and playing political games to try to attack our president and those around him with BS. While on the other side of the aisle, we've got flagrant issues that would get anybody hung in a matter of days in any other country just being ignored while they're going after, you know,
well, okay,
Craig, on the right.
I don't want you to talk out of school here. You had mentioned, and I feel a segue here. You had mentioned about Michael Flynn. They're going after him for other reasons. And then you kind of just left that alone. And again, I don't want you to break any confidences here, but could the other reasons perhaps be what you're now kind of slowly getting into, or is it something different?
Well, you're right. I shouldn't, and I won't. But I'll say my understanding is why they're going after him is politically motivated, not criminally motivated in good faith, as the FBI should be. What they're doing is they're carrying out a political agenda. That's my understanding, and I know some very well informed, very highly qualified people around General Flynn that's their honest observation of it. So that's mine too, unless I've learned differently.
Okay. You know, you just said something, Craig, that you know, we've seen the justice system being used to target you know, the right in many different ways, and we see the Hillary Clinton criminal cabal and all that goes along with that, and all these scandals just being completely ignored. Mainly the Uranium One deal. Do you think we will see an actual investigation by Jeff Sessions or otherwise from the Justice Department, an honest investigation into the Uranium One deal?
If there's not, Joe, why on earth would any of us honor or listen to anything those people in D.C. said?
I agree.
Why would we honor the FBI? Why would we honor Congress? Why would we comply with them? There's 320 million of us. There's a handful of them. Why would we listen to anything they said if they don't handle the obvious? If they're to be respected, they've got to do their professional job in good faith. And until they prosecute Hillary Clinton for the arm-long list of things that we all see that she's guilty of, it's all out there in the emails, man. We can read the emails on WikiLeaks. We can see. You don't have to be a federal criminal investigator to put two and two together there. It's in black and white in a lot of cases. So I think things are about to come to a head. We're only going to tolerate it so far, the American people, already highly ticked off. So it's just a matter of time before this clown show gets the brakes thrown on it. I think these people parading around with a badge have enjoyed the good graces of the American citizen for so long that they've got too big for their britches. You know, if they're doing their job on behalf of the American people, they're carrying out the Constitution and they're enforcing our laws. Man, that's good. Well, I'll applaud that all day long. All of us will. That's what we want. But if they're on one side of the political aisle, if they're actually carrying out the will of our enemies against our Constitution and playing political hit job games, that's only going to last so long. So I think it'll be interesting times to see how this comes to a head and how it gets dealt with. I think the train's going to run off the track at some point. It can't just continue indefinitely. We won't watch them railroad President Trump out of office on bogus information. I mean, if he turns out to be a genuinely harmful man and criminal, then fine. But they better have done it to Hillary and crew first, because we're watching. We're pretty well informed, some of us. So it'll be interesting. These are volatile times.
Yeah, they are. And it's unfortunate that here in America, Americans don't, you know, make their voices heard more and for things like this. Because, as you said, all credibility from all the, you know, from the FBI to the DOJ is lost if they do not pursue this. Kevin, what do you think about the Uranium One? Do you think we'll see an investigation into this?
Yeah, the question is, will it go anywhere? Uranium One is interesting. The final person that had to approve Uranium One was the president himself. He was the only one that was aware of it, by the way. Barack Obama was aware of the Uranium One deal, and out of a 9-panel group of people to approve it, one of which was Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama was the only one who could have stopped it, and he didn't, and he let it go forward. He also let they loosened a lot of export restrictions on Russia, including the Uranium One transport. I can tell you, maybe it's my CIA background rearing its ugly head again, but the Russian intelligence was all over Hillary Clinton through the Uranium One deal, and Uranium One investors were dumping millions of dollars into the Clinton Foundation. They paid Bill Clinton $500,000 to come to speak to a Uranium One connected organization directly tied to the Kremlin, and on and on and on it goes. So if you want to talk Russian collusion, just look at Uranium One. Now, it's a little bit more complex than you're getting on the news. Hillary and Bill Clinton just didn't walk out and sell 20% of the uranium to the Russians. It involved Rosatom, the Russian corporation, connected to 10X, their sales arm. 10X was eventually investigated by the FBI and charged for criminal activity and racketeering, bribery, blackmail, and racketeering. So the whole thing was just disgustingly connected into organized crime, the whole Uranium One deal. The Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions, came out and said, well, they didn't really know about the criminal problems till after the Uranium One deal. And that's concerning because, yes, they did. The Department of Justice was doing its investigation on the racketeering and the bribery of 10X connected to Rosatom and Uranium One. They were doing that before the Uranium One deal. So the DOJ knew about the corruption. They knew about the criminal activity before the Uranium One deal was done. Sessions has come out and said the DOJ didn't know about that until afterwards. That is simply not true. Secondly, and no offense to Shepard Smith, but Shepard Smith came out recently and said, well, that uranium never left the United States. So whoever says it did is full of it. Well, that is incorrect. The uranium went up to Canada, and it is apparent by some good sources that it left Canada and went to Europe. So that's not an accurate statement either. So it's more complex, I think, than is being reported, but it has corruption, Russian corruption all over it. There was even a Russian spy who was snuggling up to Hillary Clinton and trying to make her best friend. And I mean, the Soviets were just all over the Clintons and Uranium One. So it's just more than a 20% uranium deal, which involved seven other people making the decision in the government. It was more than just the Uranium One deal. It was a connection to Russian organized crime.
CFIUS, the oversight body of which what Hillary was a titular head there, and of course, in 9 cabinet level positions total, right. 13 agencies combined. But yeah, the FBI informant that is coming forward, William Campbell, who has leukemia. And we'll be testifying before Congress.
Huge witness.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
Craig, what are you going to be doing for the next couple of months? I mean, you want to stand by him and guard him? I think he might need some protection, given the,
well,
you know.
Yeah. I tell you what, there are people that I know that are of financial means that will fund the protection of somebody like that has significant information that's going to bring about a positive result. But they've got to bring that information forward. If there are situations like that, I know people that can facilitate that. And obviously, you know, I've done a lot of high threat mobile security contracting for different agencies, and a lot of my friends run the companies that provide those services. And so, you know, the high level experienced operators, that's no problem to find those guys. So right. A lot of those are my peers.
I said that kind of tongue in cheek because I'm sure he does have security, but the fact is, a lot of people seem to meet their demise, especially in situations like this. Our two guests, just two great Americans, patriotic Americans, Kevin Shipp and Craig R. Sawyer. Follow them both on Twitter. You can the links are in the program description, as well as from the company of Shadows, Kevin Shipp's book, a fantastic book. We have about 20 minutes left of the program. That's all. Kevin, I'm going to bounce it over to you. You guys, look, whatever we didn't cover that you both want to cover, just fire away. Kevin, go ahead. And I know, and thanks for appearing. I know that you're under the weather. I appreciate that, but thanks.
No, in season and out of season, as they say, excuse me. I think the one thing that is worth talking about is this so-called Russian dossier. You all mentioned it in the beginning. The Russian dossier affair is such a counterintelligence op. It's almost funny. It'll make you laugh. And let me break down with the Russian dossier, break down what happened. The Clinton law firm hired Fusion GPS, which was comprised of journalists connected to the mainstream media. They went and they contacted the quote-unquote former British intelligence officer, Christopher Steele, who went in and paid Russian intelligence officers for information. Now, they're going to Russian intelligence officers and paying them for information. And these Russian intelligence officers, who supposedly were trying to get Trump elected, are giving them dirt on Donald Trump, the exact opposite. So they're getting information from the beginning from our number one counterintelligence enemy and expecting that information to be true. Okay, so that goes to the former British intelligence agent. John McCain, like a salivating dog, is waiting for it back in the United States. So they write up this dossier, and I've seen parts of the dossier. It's got grammatical errors. It's got misspellings in it. And as a former intelligence writer, you just don't do that. With an intelligence report, especially when you're getting paid millions of dollars when you total it all up. So anyway, so this information from Russian intelligence sources goes to Fusion GPS. John McCain sends an emissary to retrieve the document, brings the document back, gives it to CI Director John Brennan, who then leaks it to the press, calling it legitimate intelligence. Then the press runs with it. With information that was provided by Russian intelligence, which is just absolutely mind-boggling. And then, of course, the dossier is true or accurate. They can't verify any of this information that paid Russian intelligence gave them at all. And the Russians have got to be sitting back there going to the Moscow bank, laughing all the way to the teller counter. This was a shadow government hit job against Donald Trump that came all the way from Russian intelligence through the shadow government. Senator John McCain was disseminated to the CIA director. And it gets even worse than that. McCain also took it to Mueller and the FBI, and Robert Mueller started the Russian collusion investigation based on that dossier. And the special prosecutor that we have now is based on the information that originally came from that dossier. And again, trace it all the way back. It came from Russian intelligence officers. This is what you're not hearing on the news. If you break this all down, it's almost laughable what a incredible intelligence operation this was by the Russians, but primarily, and what a shadow government internal hit job with CIA Director John Brennan and others, what a shadow government hit job it was from the inside on Donald Trump at the same time using Russian intelligence. And that, if you break it down, that's exactly what happened.
Exactly right. Craig, to you.
Well, I think, you know, the American public need to know kind of the struggle, what's going on. I wrote down a couple things here that I think I would like to know that American people are researching. And you can call it conspiracy theory, but once you research it, it's not theory anymore because it's verifiable fact. So people need to be aware of things like research the New World Order and what they're calling now. They're changing it to the International World Order, because the people are starting to figure out what New World Order meant, and that's a bad deal for us Americans. So they're changing their lingo and what the whole agenda is behind that. What do they want? What are they ultimately after? And the Frankfurt School, look that up, research it, read about it, read who was part of it, what were they about, Saul Alinsky, what are his tactics? If you understand Saul Alinsky's tactics, you understand what Hillary and all the others are doing. You understand why they project all their lies all over Trump, and then they get arrested or caught being guilty of those exact very things, and you're no longer surprised. You're ahead of them. You see where they're going. So the Cloward-Piven strategy, what does that mean? You know, what was that all about, and how is that being used to break down our economy, especially over the last 8 years? Man, the Cloward-Piven was on warp drive. And American people need to understand these things. And Agenda 21, man, the first time I was working within the intelligence community when I got wind of that one, and I started researching, I thought it was so diabolical that I assumed it was just a conspiracy theory. I was like, there's no way that humans would actually push that. But yeah, there are meetings where they keep pushing the agenda there. But what does that mean for we, the American people? What does that look like couple decades from now? What's their ultimate objective? It's ugly. It's dark. It's diabolical. So we need to be aware of these things, because as Kevin pointed out, they're not going to tell you this on the mainstream news media, man. That's not their job. That's not where their money is made. So Council of Foreign Relations, the CFR, you need to know who they are, what their agenda is, what historically, what have they pushed? Trilateral Commission, you know, same thing there. The Bilderberg Conference, look, I know a guy that provided security for one of the big names there, and he's like, well, Saul, you know, they're just looking after their financial best interests. I'm like, yes, exactly, I know that. But what does that mean for you and me? Do you understand? Yeah. Understand the financial strings they're pulling globally and what that ends up being. Of course they're looking after their financial best interests, but they're moving trillions of dollars around the globe. They're breaking economies. They're starting wars. They're causing untold heartache.
Yeah.
Looking after the best interests. So come on, buddy. Anyway, yep. So I said all that to say this, guys. If the American people know the objective of our would-be oppressors, if they know if the American people are empowered with that knowledge, then we can rally to stand up to counter it. If you understand what your enemy wants, you understand how to stop it. That's what I want. I want the American people to be understanding of this agenda against us, and so that we can stop it. And really, we need to rally around Donald Trump right now, because he's the big thumb in their eye, man. He's just standing up trying to strengthen our economy and get everything rolling again, and getting everything working the way that it should, and boy, they sure hate it. And you got to ask yourself, why would they hate that so badly? Because it's improving life for all of us.
They sure do hate it, and they hate this country. They hate the freedoms that it grants, that God grants, and it is more evident now than it has ever been. Kevin, I want to come back to you real quick and talk about a few things that weren't on our list. One, the tax plan. How important is it, do you think, that the Senate is able to push through this tax plan for the Trump agenda and for their own future as elected officials?
So it's critical for the Trump agenda. It's absolutely critical. That's one of his political platforms. They have to do it, and it's something that's got to be done. And they've gone back and forth and back and forth. The first version was not very good. It's a lot better than it was. Personally, I think they're going to do it. They have to do it. For Donald Trump's legitimacy and the kind of man he is, I think he'll put a lot of pressure on him to get it done. But no, I think it'll get done. I think it will come out, and I think it's going to be a lot better than that, at least than the tax structure was before.
Okay. Craig, what do you think about this tax bill? Do you think that this is critical to the survival of many of the, and specifically the Republicans in the Senate and in Congress?
Well, in a way I do, because it's such a simple thing that the American public, we've been watching the Republican side squabble and fail and be too soft and not really push and achieve much. And I think now it's kind of put up or shut up kind of a moment. And this is a bill that the American public expect is a pretty straightforward one that Republicans should be able to rally around and get pushed through. So I think it's kind of a make or break deal in a lot of ways due to the dynamic and the timing of what's going on.
Okay. And Craig, I know we talked about the issues with the media and how crazy they are and the evil, I say the, spiritually evil agenda that drives them. The calls that, especially with North Korea, and I said this earlier, that we see these calls of mental fitness with Trump always related to the nuclear weapons. What do you think we're going to see happen with North Korea? I said earlier, before you guys came on, that is this something that is inevitably going to be solved by war, whether with this presidential administration or others? And if not, I mean, what would be the best way to go about to rectify this situation?
I don't see it going to war with North Korea, to be honest with you. I think our technology to stop, our capability to stop any missiles that they have is far superior. I don't think we're really sweating that. I think President's just trying to feel this guy out and see what he's made of, see what he wants to do. But I don't think they are as large a threat to us as perhaps a lot of the public believes right now. I mean, certainly an unstable character, and I don't want to discount him in that regard. But technologically, I think there's no contest. I don't think it's as big a deal as some people are seeing it as. I think it's such a one-way street. I think it'd be a pretty quick slap down. So I don't think it'd be result in a very large scale confrontation. That's just my observation based on what I know about the technology and who's got what. So, but I hope it goes smoothly for all parties involved. I hope that Rocket Man, can calm down and see himself forward to do a better job and maybe gain some respect to people and maybe become a better man somehow. I'm not holding my breath, but yeah, I hope for good things.
And Kevin, I want to toss this North Korea question to you in just a second. Craig, I want to ask you one thing. So if we were to see a missile launch strike the U.S. Hawaii, the U.S. mainland, or even a ship in the ocean there, that would that be a cause for red flags, wondering, why was this allowed to happen? Because of the
Are you asking Kevin or me?
You, Craig, because of what you just said about the technology we have.
Yeah, well, people would be, the first thing they'd be asking, is it a red flag? That people have grown cynical. Again, that's one of the prices. That's one of the penalties that we all suffer for having allowed so many of these people in the federal government to grow so rancid and remain. Look, nowhere else in this world does there exist a culture of you can't lose your job, of job absolution. Job security exists in the federal government like nowhere else. And I don't for the life of me understand why, other than people want their guaranteed paycheck. And so they vote it into being, So I think that's a dynamic we need to fix. When I've worked for organizations where you had to be an optimal performer or be replaced, guess what everybody was? Optimal performers. And we need to make an adjustment, a major modification of our federal government. We need to demand performance and integrity of our people. And so back to the red flag thing, people have been they've grown cynical and callous, and they've seen things. They've seen official stories that do not line up with the facts. People are tired of being lied to. And the first thing they assume now is something that's a red flag. Any sort of major conflict, they're like, it's probably another CIA red flag. I mean, that's what you hear. That's what you see. People surmising, they snap instantly to that. Well, why have they grown to assume that? So I think that's the problem we have to address. We've got to start running an honorable ship in D.C. before people will start believing the official story first. So unfortunate dynamic. Breaks my heart.
It is sad, isn't it? The whole thing is sad as we look at we have to question everything. Kevin Shipp and Craig Sawyer are two guests, two patriotic Americans. Follow them both on Twitter. Also, vets4childrescue.org. That is Craig Sawyer's website. For the love of freedom, kevinshipp.net for the Kevin Shipp. And from there, you can get to his video channel as well. Also on Twitter. We only have just a few minutes left here. Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Kevin, give us your thoughts on how this North Korea situation could play out.
Well, this is the first administration that has actually challenged North Korea. Finally, we've been subsidizing them and sending them millions and millions and millions, despite their threats, for the last few decades, and every single administration has done absolutely nothing about not only their threats against the United States, but the abysmal human rights violations. So they've got people in cages doing experiments on them, especially religious people, entire families that they're torturing and doing experiments on. I mean, it's horrible stuff, and no one has done a thing about this. No one has done a thing about North Korea's threats until now, until Donald Trump. And I love that term, Rocket Man. So you got Rocket Man coming out. He's being challenged. So he's making all these veiled threats. But let me tell you something. I think he's going to have to know, probably does, is you don't poke the bear. If he tries to shoot a missile where a missile doesn't belong, we've got the capability to stop that from happening. And we have the capability to make that the worst day that he's ever had. A lot of what he's saying is rhetoric, because for the first time in decades, the United States is standing up to him and not letting China get in the way. Even China now is kind of starting to get it. So the U.S. is not even letting China stop it anymore from confronting this talk of war on the behalf of North Korea. So that's the good part of it. The good part of it is the United States is finally standing up to North Korea and saying, don't knock this battery off our shoulder, buddy. And they know that. They know that darn well. They are kind of a puppet to Iran also. So Iran's in part responsible for their nuclear program, and they're operating through them. So Iran's got a part of this. And they're seeing finally the United States stand up and say no more. Mm-mm. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. And they're not stupid. They're crazy, but they're not stupid. They know what's going to happen. That you can count on the fact, especially Iran. They know what's going to happen if North Korea pokes the U.S. bear. It's not going to be a pretty thing. So I think right now it's a lot of rhetoric. Do I see it going to war? No, not at this point.
Kind of a unanimous decision there. And I remember back in 94, I think it was, Clinton saying, hey, it's, peace in our time. This nuclear deal reached with North Korea, and how that just kicked the can down the road. Both individuals, Kevin Shipp as well as Craig Sawyer, very powerful, strong, great patriotic Americans by themselves, together, force multipliers. I've got to tell you, it's just been a phenomenal show. We've got, we can give you about 90 seconds a piece. Go ahead, Kevin, to close this out. Kevin first and then, Craig, 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks, Doug. I appreciate that. Let me close it out with something I think sums this up, and I think it's important. We all know this. Ephesians 6:12, I think, says it best. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what is behind all of this, going all the way back to globalism and the New World Order, their international world order, Luciferianism, what we're seeing in Washington right now. That's the problem, is this is a massive spiritual battle behind everything, and we're seeing that play out.
Okay. Well said, and there it is. Craig?
Well, I agree with Kevin, and it's an honor to be on with him. He's a fellow truth teller, and I got a lot of respect for that. So I appreciate being able to be on with him. Look, I can't fix everything. People tell me, you know, Craig, what can I do and what can I do? We don't each have to do it all, but we can each do something. And what I've done is I've founded Veterans for Child Rescue to go face one of the evils. And one of the bigger evils going on right now is some of the elite and a lot of other people abusing God's precious and innocent little children. So we're out to inform the American public about what's going on so that we can counter it, to rescue the children, to bring the perps to justice, and to beat that whole thing back for a brighter tomorrow. So Vets for Child Rescue is my passion right now. So we appreciate everybody's support. It's been a wild journey, but an inspiring one.
We urge all of our listeners and viewers to support both of you, Vets for Child Rescue, Vets of the Number 4 Child Rescue, and of course Kevin Shipp. And we want to thank the special thanks to Brent Bolesky, SpyTheater.com. And Sheldon, thank you so very, very, very much for appearing tonight, both.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, brothers.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be talking with you individually shortly, soon. Folks, it was just a fantastic program, and we want our thanks to two true great Americans, Kevin Shipp and Craig Sawyer. In my view, I think that they've probably individually done more than anyone I know to advance. To advance the liberty agenda, what else would you call that? But go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, to advance the truth from a knowledge of having experience and background in these areas.
On our side too.
Absolutely. We only got about a minute left. Ted Brewer wanted us to remind everybody, or to inform everybody out there, that he has the purple sticks are now in stock.
Oh boy!
So go to healthmasters.com and order them there. Also, don't forget, this month, Greenovative is offering a special 30% discount to Hagman Report listeners. You just use the promo code Hagman and go to greenovative.com. You can check out all the awesome stuff that they have there, and the deals that they have on that is where you're in this holiday shopping season.
And finally, do not forget, we are working at Eric Tech the Eric. Yeah, Tech the Eric. Eric the Tech is working on the forum for Patreon supporters, the supporters of the Hagman Report on Patreon, and hopefully that'll be done soon.
Yeah.
And of course, we are looking forward to the first
broadcast
many right
on Sunday evening, the video conference for those of who are on the top tier donations of Patreon.
That's right.
And that's going to be interesting to do this this Sunday.
Our thanks to Craig Sawyer, Kevin Shipp, and very special thanks to Peter Barry Chalka as well for the fine article on Hagman Report. He's going to be with us tomorrow. Thank you so much, John Robertson. Thank you so much, Eric the Tech and Jackie, Joe, myself, Lady of the Studio Dog, Theo, her little brother. And I got to tell you, it's been a long day, but it's been a very, very good one. And tonight's show, what a fantastic presence by both Kevin Shipp and Craig Sawyer. We think the world of both of them.
That'll do it. Have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow. The
Doug Hagman Radio Show. Yeah, Doug Hagman Radio Show.
9 to 10 in the Hagman Daily Show. And then we'll be back here at 7. Until then, have a great night.